journalism is to question the prevailing wisdom. Question the prevailing wisdom.
Just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All rights reserved and affirmed.
Free all minds. These are weapons of mass dissent.
These are weapons of mass dissent.
Welcome to Uprising, a daily digest of independent news analysis, investigation, education, artistic expression, and activism. It's Tuesday, October 7th, 2008, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar.
It just makes me stop and think.
Silence is not an option.
Give Me Liberty, a handbook for American revolutionaries. We'll spend the hour with best-selling author Naomi Wolf.
Cross the tracks. Sorry if my eyes drop when the fellow meadows out, but I can't help myself. Why should I?
This is Uprising. Good morning and welcome to Uprising and welcome to day two of KPFK's Fall Fun Drive. In her earlier best-selling book, The End of America, feminist author and critic Naomi Wolf warned readers of a profound shift toward fascism under the Bush administration. She outlined 10 basic steps that Hitler's Germany and Mussolini's Italy took and how the U.S. was walking a very fine line in that direction. But while most Americans who read her book agreed with her about the dire direction of the country, the power to change course has remained elusive. Most of us know the problems exist, but what are the solutions? Naomi Wolf, in her new book, Give Me Liberty, presents what she calls a handbook for American revolutionaries. It's a sequel to The End of America, and it's a practical do-it-yourself guide to taking back the country from a direction so dangerous that everything is at stake. Naomi Wolf may scare the living daylights out of us, but she promises hope, and she joins me in studio this morning. Welcome to Uprising.
Thank you. That's a fantastic introduction. Terrifying and yet hopeful.
Now, this new book is a sort of, as I said, a sequel to your previous book, End of America, where you outline these 10 steps to fascism. I read the book. A lot of people read the book. A lot of people were, you know, as I said, went on the bestseller list. Between last year and now, between that book and this book, has the U.S. come even closer to Germany and Italy under Mussolini and Hitler?
I'm sorry to say yes, that in fact... I mean, I'm sort of hesitating because the news is so dramatically worse in the last 10 days, and I hate to be the messenger, but we have to face what's happening. the blueprint I gave readers in The End of America is very predictive because the blueprint always works. It always works a certain way, and certain steps are inevitable in a closing society if people don't take action. So I said last fall, and it's not that I'm a genius. It's just that these things are so predictive. If you study history, that within 6 months we would start to see mass arrests, and those happened this spring. We would start to see journalists being arrested, and dozens of journalists were arrested at the RNC. We would start to see the subversion of the rule of law, like the disregarding of subpoenas, the dramatic use of signing statements, and that we would start to see hyped threats or instability, especially in the months leading up to an election. The months leading up to an election in a closing society are historically very dangerous, especially the weeks leading up to an election, and very likely to be manipulated by a leader who's seeking to close down a democracy with hyped threats and provocations and hyped crises. So I was very mindful in the last couple of weeks of the language that the Bush administration is using in relationship to the economic crisis. It's language guaranteed to whip up markets further, to freak people out more, rather than FDR type. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. Let's stabilize things. And I'm sorry to tell you, I mean, I hate to start the hour with such bad news, but I'm sorry to tell you that my most serious prediction based on the blueprint, unfortunately, has come true in a very dramatic way, which is that as of October 1st, you know, as I've been writing in my blogs and saying on a YouTube clip that's gone viral, luckily, because people have to know about this, as of October 1st, the coup has taken place because the 1st Brigade of the 3rd Infantry Division, a military combat unit, has been redeployed from Iraq to the United States which is the definition of a police state, when the executive directs his own personal army. And I'll get to why this is Bush's personal army. But they're engaging in exercises right now, according to the brother of one of the soldiers. Their stated mission, according to Army Times, is crowd control, subduing unruly individuals, and helping in the event of an emergency. Well, their crowd control technologies are being brought over from Iraq, and they include tasers and rubber bullets, both of which are lethal. Tasers have killed 300 people. But more seriously, they're armed, and they have tanks. Now, why shouldn't I think, well, these are our guys, our men and women, and yes, so what? You know, they were here helping out after, I believe, Alabama or Mississippi after one of the storms in 2005, which is Karl Rove's way, I think, of kind of inuring us to the idea. Here's why we should not only worry, but we have to take action now. Because of what Bush has done with the Insurrection Act, changing the Insurrection Act and the Defense Authorization Act of 2007, the 1st Brigade is not answerable to Congress. They don't report to Congress. They don't report to the people. The only person they report to is the President of the United States of America. And I have posted a blog today on Alternate, it should go up, in which I asked Captain David Antoon, I'm sorry, Major David Antoon of the military, if the president directs the 1st Brigade to fire at civilians, what happens? And he said, they have to do it. And I said, if the president directs the 1st Brigade to arrest Congress, what happens? They have to do
it. So he can personally direct this brigade?
He is the only person who has can direct this brigade. In other words, he has subordinates down the chain of command, but the only person who has the power to direct this brigade ultimately is the President of the United States. Hmm. And I'm flip it around to understand what I'm saying. Whatever he directs them to do, they have to do, or else they face, if they refuse, they get arrested. They face 5 years in prison or worse.
Okay, so a lot of people listening right now, Naomi, are saying, you're exaggerating. This is crazy. This is America. This doesn't happen here.
Right. Okay, so thank you for bringing up that response, because I'm sure that's true. Believe me, I would love to, you know, half of my brain wants to think, oh, come on, Naomi, surely not, because this is a nightmare. In my study of closing societies, one phenomenon came up again and again, especially in democracies that were closing down, like Italy and Germany, which is denial. There's this very dangerous period where people are watching the black shirts march on Rome and they're saying, oh, come on, it's Italy. It's a parliamentary democracy. You know, surely this can't go any further. Read the memoirs of German citizens in 1930 and 31 and 32, you know, liberal, humanist, civilized people. They are looking around and talking to their friends exactly like we are now, and they're saying, this is a modern state. This is the, you know, the country of great philosophers, Goethe, you know, great, great composers. Surely these thugs won't stand power long. Surely people won't stand for it. The point is that we – and these are – that's a very dangerous reaction because, you know, all I'm asking you to do is – not yield to this very dangerous and I think, frankly, delusional instinct to disavow facts and simply look at the facts. That, you know, each of my books has like 200 footnotes. And again, everything I predicted happened. Everything, you know, when I say, why is it dangerous that the state legalized torture? The next question is, name a society historically ever that legalizes torture that doesn't end up using it on its own citizens. I've been asking that question for over a year across the country. Nobody has an answer because there is no answer. Now, again, the deployment of troops. When an executive, when a leader deploys military troops in civilian streets, which is what has been forbidden on penalty of 2 years in prison since 1807, and again reinforced in 1879 with the Posse Comitatus Act, and when President Bush, you know, upends, perverts those laws, making it legal to deploy troops on the United States of America's streets, I'm asking your readers to think, can you name a time that military troops were deployed on the streets and civilian streets when bad things didn't happen? You cannot. You cannot. Now, let me close the circle. Unfortunately, and by the way, you know, just to kind of snap people out of their denial, what is the definition of a police state? You know, the definition of a police state is that the executive directs the military. That is the textbook dictionary definition, plus that the executive has his own treasury. And, you know, in the bailout bill, the fine print, which, by the way, we haven't even seen the final, you know, bill, sought to give the president $100 billion in discretionary spending with no oversight. This is again and again what happens in a closing society. You know, the executive intervenes, the leader intervenes in the national economy, seizes control with no oversight of a chunk of the assets, and deploys the military. So let me close the circle and unfortunately freak you out further, because I have no choice. You know, our children's safety depends on everyone waking up together. We have, like, no time left. I don't want to say no time left, because we have to be hopeful, but the time to act is now. There is a report that is on C-SPAN where Representative Brad Sherman from California said in the halls of Congress on television that individual members of the House have been in private conversations told that if they didn't pass the bailout bill on Monday, the markets would go down 1,000 points. On Tuesday, or, you know, the next day, they would go down another 1,000 points. And that by this week that's beginning now, there would be martial law. So they were threatened with martial law if they didn't do what the White House presumably was telling them to do about the bailout
And one
package.
Member of Congress said this on C-SPAN.
Yeah, and you can go to C-SPAN and type in Brad Sherman and C-SPAN, or you can look at my post, which details this, which should be up on alternate today. Now, let me close the circle for you. Before the 1st Brigade was deployed by the president, that would have been basically empty talk. Even though he can now federalize the National Guard, it would have been difficult for him to declare martial law. Now that he has the 1st Brigade, it's not empty talk. It puts among the things that it does is it puts teeth in a threat like that.
My guest is Naomi Wolf. We're talking about what's happening currently in America. Her new book is Give Me Liberty, a handbook for American revolutionaries. And, of course, you've likely heard of her earlier book, if not read, At the End of America. She's written many books, including The Beauty Myth and many, many others. She's known, of course, earlier as being a feminist writer and has been writing over the past several years about where the United States is going under the Bush administration. And it certainly is quite frightening, but the book is also a handbook for American revolutionaries, and we'll get to that in just a moment, what people can do. But I want to let listeners know, since this is our fund drive and KPFK brings to you authors like Naomi Wolf, we want you to support this radio station that is giving her and others like her a platform to speak about these very important issues. We want to give you a copy of her book, Give Me Liberty, a Handbook for American Revolutionaries. If you call right now at 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. We'll give you a copy of her book, Give Me Liberty, a Handbook for American Revolutionaries. Now, there's also a very exclusive thank you gift that we're introducing on this edition of Uprising. Her earlier book, The End of America, is being currently made into a documentary, not slated to be released until January of 2009, but we have managed to get from the filmmakers an exclusive special election edition that is going to be ready by the end of this month, and we would mail you copies of that documentary. It's a pledge of $120 for The End of America, brand new documentary. We're just introducing it to listeners right now, or you can get both the book and the documentary for a pledge of $200, or just split it up into $20 a month for 10 months. 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK.
Can I just jump in and say, please support Pacifica Radio, because there's been a major media blackout of these messages, barely reported, and as societies close down, independent media like Pacifica are so vital. The other thing I want to say is that I ask you, please, if you are moved by this message, to host screenings of the documentary for people who don't read books, who don't have time to read books, your friends and neighbors that you want to alert and alarm in time for them to take action, especially, you know, long before the, ideally before the election.
Now, Naomi, you use language that can appeal to all Americans. It's a populist approach. You talk about, you know, use patriotic language. And the right wing in America has been very effective at appropriating symbols of American patriotism, and they've used that to win elections. Why do you use this approach, and how is it different from how the right wing approaches it?
Yeah, thank you. A very good and important question. I've got a section called Fake Patriotism that talks about exactly this, that what happened in the 60s was that the left sort of abandoned the power that reclaiming the founders' message, which was really very radical and very empowering, they kind of adopted a discourse of more Marxist kind of language, and you know, looked at other kinds of revolutions and other kinds of revolutionaries. I don't think that was great for a lot of reasons. It left us without a lot of the gifts of our lifeline, our heritage. It also, we walked away from the patriotism table and thus let the right move in and brand it as militarism, supporting, you know, unquestioningly whatever the U.S. decided to do militarily around the world. And they also rebranded it as often theological, you know, God likes us, God likes America, and that it's about unquestioning reflexive support for the government. Now, this is so dangerous at a time like this because we really need the legacy of the founders. And I take on the fact that there's this reflex on the left, well, you can't invoke the founders because they were, you know, wealthy white slave owners. Certainly, it is true, they were wealthy white slave owners. But
men.
And men. But, you know, that's actually ill-informed, I discovered, because I went back and read the history of that colonial generation, that revolutionary generation. And I read some fantastic histories that focus on ordinary people who were left out of the history books. Now, they are the founders that I'm most moved by, that and whose stories I present to readers. What we're not taught is that ordinary people, enslaved African Americans, washerwomen, farmers, artisans, working class people, these were the Americans who were captivated by this vision of liberty, and they were the ones risking their lives for it and protesting and marching and confronting legislatures. I mean, enslaved African Americans regularly, I had no idea, sued legislatures at risk of their own lives for their own freedom, using the language of the Declaration of Independence, this language that was going around in the culture at that time. So that's the legacy that I think we need to reclaim. And there's something else we need to understand on the left. Because it's stupid for us to basically throw out the baby with the bathwater. Absolutely, you know, Jefferson probably raped his slaves, and Benjamin Franklin, when a slave escaped, you know, retrieved him back into slavery. These men were flawed, obviously. They were prisoners of their time and place, as I would argue we are prisoners of our time and place. And future histories will say, well, you know, that Naomi Wolf, what, you know, how could she have done this, or how could she have supported that? But what we have to understand is, while they are flawed, what they saw, what they glimpsed along with all these people was perfect, this human ideal, democracy, the best idea the human race has ever had. And it was so perfect that future waves of Native Americans and women and people around the world claim that same perfect vision to expand the circle of liberty. So I, you know, went back and redefined patriotism, what Americans are supposed to be doing according to this core ideal, and it's so different from the brainwashing we're getting. It's the Declaration of Independence commits us to standing up for tyranny as revolutionaries every day, all the time. A core American principle is we must speak up against oppression. A core American principle is that we are to establish no God. You know, religious freedom, freedom of conscience. A core American ideal is that ordinary people are supposed to be running things. We are supposed to be the leaders, not Congress, not pundits, not constitutional scholars. We are the ones supposed to worry about the Constitution. We're supposed to deliberate with our neighbors who don't agree with us. This is so important right now when left and right demagogues are whipping us up against one another. And we are not to liberty is universal. We're not to hold an oppressive empire that subverts democracies around the world. Core ideals that we need to reclaim at a time when we have to fight. We have to fight back and restore America.
My guest is Naomi Wolf. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about her new book. It's a sequel to The End of America. It's called Give Me Liberty, a Handbook for American Revolutionaries. She is the author of the best-selling feminist books, The Beauty Myth, Fire with Fire, Promiscuities and Misconceptions. The New York Times called The Beauty Myth one of the 70 most significant books of the century. She was a consulting editor at George Magazine. Naomi Wolf's essays have appeared regularly in The New Republic, The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, The Washington Post, Glamour, Ms. Magazine, and other publications. She has a new piece that's coming out on alternet.org today. And she is here in studio with me to also urge you to call right now and make a pledge to KPFK. Naomi Wolf believes and understands the role of independent media at a time such as this. And Pacifica has been there for decades, nearly 50 years. KPFK, we're going to hopefully be here for another 50 years with your support. 818-985 800-585-5735 is the number to call. And Naomi's going to be with us for the whole hour. So don't go away and don't forget to make that call. For a $100 pledge, we'll send you her new book. For $200, we'll send you a book and a brand new exclusive documentary that isn't even out yet. But we're getting a special election edition to you, the listener, for a pledge of $120 by itself or with the book for $200. 818-985-5735 is that number. It's a wonderful thank you gift that we're very excited to be bringing to you. And I think it's so important that all of us pay attention to what Naomi Wolf is saying. On the surface, it may sound sensationalistic because we don't want to believe it. You know, we really don't want to believe it. When stories came out about that brigade being deployed, my first reaction was, okay, all right, this is just exaggeration. But honestly, what has the Bush administration done over the past 8 years? They have eroded away at our sense of tolerance for these things. Mm-hmm. And sadly, I think we're becoming more and more tolerant without even realizing it. And, you know, we are becoming the good Germans. And that right. is really frightening. And Naomi, I want to ask you about this economic crisis. You talked about the bailout and how that bill gives the Bush administration, George Bush himself, $100 billion.
Well, we don't know if that language is still in the final bill.
Right. And some news reports have been reporting that. So that's as much as we can tell about it. But what role does the economic crisis play? Is it separate right. from or is it part of this continuing push towards fascism in the country?
Right. Well, you know, there's no evidence that they, you know, that it was provoked by the administration, although many economists have pointed out that the administration knew perfectly well, you know, that this was the train wreck that was inevitable with these policies in place and these lending practices moving ahead without regulation. I think that what viewers should and listeners should pay attention to, as I mentioned, is the nature of the language, how the White House reacted. Thank you. You know, Bush's speech to the people was like, be afraid, be very afraid, be so freaked out. It's coming to you. It's going to get worse. It's going to go to your bank, and it's going to destroy your life. You know, now, the bully pulpit is very powerful when it comes to the markets. And I can't, you know, if I were advising the president and the goal was to destabilize the economy, I couldn't write a more effective speech. Right? And then remember Palin's interview with Katie Couric, among other things.
How could we forget?
Right, how could you forget indeed? But one thing she was very, probably very obedient and delivered on is that she used the soundbite, the phrase, we are in crisis mode.
Mm-hmm. And she's used it several times since.
Many, many times, yeah. Exactly. So again, what does that do? It destabilizes markets. It lowers people's confidence. It leads to a run on banks, which is what we're seeing now. There's a story in the LA Times I just looked at that said that people are calling their brokers and basically, you know, pulling their money out. Exactly like what? Like Germany. Exactly like Germany during the run-up to the hyperinflation. And what the horrible – like we have to stop thinking. We have to abandon the habits of thinking of a democracy. In a democracy, the leaders, you know, are ruled by the consent of the governed. And so they want to stabilize the economy. They want a good economy. They want people to have a decent standard of living in a tax base. In a police state – wake up. In a police state, I don't mean this to you, I'm saying this to the nation. In a police state, the leaders who have seized power don't care if there's a middle class. It's better for them if there isn't a middle class. All over Latin America, there are police state economies where the economy is gutted. People live in poverty. There's no middle class except for a hyper-rich friends of the oligarchs, and they live in gated communities with security, and they're doing fine, and they're plundering the treasury. That's the pattern. It serves demagogues who are trying to seize power in a closing society to have, in some ways, a wrecked economy, especially temporarily if you're going to – I mean, this is what I'm really scared of. In Germany right now, believe it or not, Chancellor Merkel – and you never want the Germans to be the leaders on, you know – crackdowns on democracy. Chancellor Merkel has sent the military into the streets as a precaution because of the economic crisis. Hmm. Now, very disturbingly to me, Bloomberg, mayor of my town, is pushing for a third term because of the economic crisis.
And he's trying to change term limits.
Exactly right.
To be able to run for a third term.
Over the will of the people. And so I was very disturbed, knowing what I know about history, to see that McCain floated two trial balloons that seemed crazy. I'm going to suspend the debates. I'm going to suspend my campaign. It's like, what? This is America. You can't suspend the debates. You can't suspend the campaign. Karl Rove works with trial balloons, and I'm persuaded, people who have read my piece on Sarah Palin know, that Rove is counting on a Palin presidency in order to continue the cabal in power. She's working for Rove and Cheney. And, you know, is this a trial balloon for the crisis? Economic crisis is too extreme, too dramatic. It's a national emergency. We have to suspend the elections.
Hmm. Well, there's less than a month left between now and the elections. A lot can happen. And if you are worried about what's going to happen, call us right now, because when you get a copy of this book, and you can certainly read about what Naomi Wolf suggests online as well, you can get a sense of what you can do. But I want to spend the next few minutes about that.
Let's before people kill themselves.
Because, you know, it is a really scary thing. And, you know, you said people kill themselves. I read a terrible story this morning in the LA Times about a man killing his entire family and then himself here in California because of his own personal economic crisis. Right. And he lost his job, lost all his money in the stock market. We're going to be seeing more and more of those sorts of things. And it's really important that we keep that hope, not to use a cliched term, keep that hope really alive, and to give practical solutions for all of us on how to take back the country, if you will. 818-985-5735 is the number to call and to take back your media. You can start with KPFK, which has always been yours. We've always been listener-sponsored, and we want to give you a copy of Naomi's book, her brand-new book, Give Me Liberty, A Handbook for American Revolutionaries. It's a $100 pledge. Let's talk a little bit, Naomi, about what the third part of your book is. It's called America, A User's Guide. What is your vision for how to achieve a revolution?
Right. Well, it was very important for me, because people ask me rightly, what do we do, to, in this book, give them the tools to restore liberty and make sure nothing like this ever happens again. But also not just restore liberty, but take back the powers that the founders intended for us to have as leaders of the nation, ordinary people. So it's very basic tools, like how to, you know, you're sick of mainstream media, you should be. It's bought and sold. So how to become the media yourself, how to write the op-eds and place them, how to do television, do radio, how to leak to a reporter, how to frame the debate, how to write a feature story.
So practical steps on exercising a freedom of speech.
Yes, certainly that, but also how to stage a protest, how to speak at a protest, how to stage an effective protest. I've got a whole chapter on why protests now are designed to be ineffective by the powers that be, how to engage in protests that actually brings down the kind of protest that brings down the Berlin Wall, how to dress so that you can't be tasered during that protest or to protect you, how to start a political movement, how to write a blog, how to do a viral video, how to raise money for a nonprofit, how to start a nonprofit, how to form yourselves into democracy commando units, we call them. Very easy, 20 or 30 people, so that you can pressure your representatives with more power than the lobbyists do, insider information about how to play hardball to really have a voice with your representatives. And I argue for an amendment to the Constitution, which we can get with a mass movement, to engage in direct democracy, a national referendum, because the system is broken and there are all over Europe, there are national referenda. Switzerland has national referenda. Abraham Lincoln wanted a referendum on slavery. It is only a national referendum, direct democracy, that will break the stranglehold of lobbyists and special interests that's crippling our government. But more urgently, the coup has taken place, and these are more kind of these are the kinds of tools that we need for the long term. But in the very short term, urgently, we need to arrest the criminals who have treasonously seize control of the White House. And the only way to do that is to call your district attorney and call your representative and raise hell with both of them to get the district attorney to arrest the president, to file charges, to arrest the president, impeach. There has to be a bipartisan process to impeach and arrest. And Vincent Bugliosi laid out the case for this in his excellent book, The Trial for Murder of George W. Bush. Well, now we can add treason to murder. And this has to happen immediately, because we cannot wait for the election. It's just too dangerous to wait.
And in fact, we had interviewed Vincent Bugliosi on Uprising only last week, and we will be bringing him back to our airwaves here on Uprising during this fund drive. Naomi Wolf is my guest, and we're going to take a short break to hear today's subversive historian. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with her. We'll also bring you the sound from some sounds from her new from the documentary, brand new documentary, not yet out, based on her last best-selling book, The End of America. Lots more to come, lots more conversation to come as well. But please keep those calls coming in at 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. It's a $100 pledge for her book, $120 for the documentary, $200 for both. The documentary is an exclusive thank you gift. It's the first time that we are offering it to our listeners. We will be right back after this short break.
This is Gabriel San Roman, your subversive historian. 53 years ago, on this day in people's history, Allen Ginsberg recited his classic poem, Howl, publicly for the first time. On October 7, 1955, the Beat poet seized an audience at Six Gallery in San Francisco. Ginsberg's poem was published the following year in a collection put out by Lawrence Ferlinghetti of City Light Books. In print form, Howl's references to homosexuality and drugs motivated the San Francisco police and U.S. Customs to bring a lawsuit against Ferlinghetti on the grounds that the poem was, quote, obscene. In a test case for the First Amendment right, the City Lights bookstore owner, with the help of the American Civil Liberties Union, prevailed as the presiding judge ruled the work of, quote, redeeming social importance. On the 50th anniversary of the court victory, Ferlinghetti and others petitioned Pacifica Radio in New York to air Howl, but fearing FCC fines, WBAI ultimately declined. You see, you can read the poem, you just can't hear it on radio. For Uprising, this is Gabriel San Roman saying it's no mystery why they conceal our history.
No more lies. No more lies. And welcome back to Uprising. I am joined in studio by Naomi Wolf, best-selling author of The End of America and, of course, several other books. Her newest book is Give Me Liberty, A Handbook for American Revolutionaries. Very excited to have her in studio with me. We'll also be joined in a few moments by Alan Minsky, senior producer of KPFK. But I want to first play an excerpt of a brand-new documentary based on Naomi's earlier book, The End of America, which details the 10 steps a country takes when it slides towards fascism. In fact, we'll play you the trailer from this film. It has not been released yet. It's not due to be released, the official version, until January 2009. But we have an exclusive special election edition that will be ready in just a few weeks, and we're going to ship it out to you for a pledge of $120. You'll be among the first to get it. Let's take a listen to this brand new documentary, The End of America.
We don't torture people. Let me say that again to you. We don't torture people. Okay?
Come on,
so,
George.
We do not. I don't talk about techniques, and we don't torture people. Now, listen to me. I want you to listen to me.
America and our friends will meet this threat with every method at our disposal.
We also have to work sort of the dark side, if you will.
The great dictators learned from one another what was essentially a blueprint for closing down an open society. They'd mechanized the list.
Every time my children travel, every time my 86-year-old mother travels, they're all on the watch list.
Fear is the most devastating of all the threats we can have in a democracy.
All of a sudden, FBI officials came and started interrogating me.
The FBI showed up at my house. You're forced to strip down to absolutely nothing, handcuffs in the front.
They don't have to watch every one of us for every one of us to be afraid they might be.
I'm calling on the Attorney General to begin a criminal investigation of the New York Times.
Treason, treason, treason.
The videotape showing Blackwater USA guards opening fire on Iraqi civilians.
There could be ricochets. This is war.
Democracy is fragile, and it's tyranny that's the default.
A society that is willing to give up a little liberty to secure a little security deserves neither and will lose both.
Preventing mass terror will be the responsibilities of presidents far into the future.
Thank you. And that's just a short preview of the brand new documentary, The End of America, based on the best-selling book, a New York Times best-selling book by my guest, Naomi Wolf. It's a film by acclaimed and award-winning documentary filmmakers Annie Sundberg and Ricky Stern, who made The Trials of Daryl Hunt, The Devil Came Up on Horseback, and others. And they bring a film with an inconvenient truth-style multi-camera version of Naomi Wolf's incredible lecture with an interactive audience featuring interviews with grassroots political leaders, military generals, intelligence community top brass who are willing to talk on camera about the uselessness of intelligence gained through torture, as well as innocent victims of our gradually eroded civil liberties. And this documentary is an exclusive right now here on KPFK, a special election edition of this documentary available right now to our listeners for a pledge of just $120 if you call us at 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. Get the book and the DVD for a pledge of $200. Again, that's the brand new book by Naomi Wolf, Give Me Liberty, A Handbook for American Revolutionaries. Alan Minsky, senior producer with KPFK, joining me in studio now. Alan, I've been kind of scared and frightened, but also hopeful listening to Naomi, and it's kind of an interesting place to be, and I think a perfect time to be here at KPFK.
Well, I think that Naomi Wolf is one of the voices in the American mediascape that whenever hear that Naomi Wolf is on an interview anywhere, wherever I see that she's in the conversation, I always listen in because there's so much going on. It's a very, very, very complex society that we live in. People really shy away from drawing serious connections and doing so in the spirit of the great tradition of American liberty, in an effort to try to defend those things. And I think that Naomi Wolf has been exceptional throughout her career in terms of drawing those kind of connections and, really making available to people information that can help them protect what they feel is best about American society. She's certainly been doing that over these past 3 or 4 years. And, it's the type of material where your mind just makes all these connections and you feel empowered to try to get involved in defending the things you think are best about American society. So this is a great thing. That's a great compliment to supporting Pacifica Radio, because Pacifica Radio was very much founded in that tradition.
Exactly.
Lou Hill, the founder of Pacifica 60 years ago, this station is now 50 years old, was very interested in creating the type of media where there was the discourse where people could have an open exchange of ideas about the society they live in to try to work things out for the betterment of the society and for the protection of the great traditions of liberty that have existed in America and that are quite in danger these days.
And, Alan, one of the things I really liked about Naomi's book and her approach to taking back patriotism is that it does it in a very sincere way. I mean, Naomi, you talk about taking back the First Amendment, the real core of what it means to be American. I mean, for me as an immigrant coming to this country, that is what has attracted me to the U.S. despite all of the other crazy stuff. And there's so much, ugly legacy to this country, but there's also so much beauty. People like Howard Zinn have reminded us of that, and people like you are reminding us of those core American values, which can and should be used to remind folks of where this country really needs to be going. And unfortunately, it's going in the opposite direction. We hear Sarah Palin and John McCain constantly talk about country first,
right.
Country first. I mean, that is such a demagoguery. I mean, these chants of USA, USA. How do you, Naomi, allow that kind of, how do you get the media, first of all, to distinguish between these two types of the fake patriotism, as you call it, and this patriotism? Isn't the media the problem?
No, we're the problem. I mean, one thing, first of all, thank you for your kind words. I appreciate that. It means a lot to me because, again, KPFK is so important. The whole Pacifica, family is so important. I mean, people don't realize, my journey through the media landscape is that I get like three minute sound bites on commercial television, breakfast television, to communicate this extremely urgent threat and what to do about it. And, this kind of space is precious for that very reason. So please dig deep and support KPFK and Pacifica Radio. The problem is this. Here's what I mean. The journey I went on in Give Me Liberty, going back and reading what Jefferson asked me to commit to in the Declaration of Independence, what, you know, what Benjamin Franklin believed all of us could do. I mean, for all their flaws, this great, you know, great leap forward in terms of this vision of freedom, of freedom. I didn't realize before I went on this journey just how precious, you know, it sounds trite, but how precious the blessings of liberty are in this country, how precious the best things of this country are. And you said, as an immigrant, and I hear this from people all over the world, we don't understand as Americans why people envy us. It's not our standard of living. It's not. I mean, that's very nice. We're not going to have it for much longer. But that is not why people in the past have longed to come to America. It's because of how we feel inside. It's this psychological state of, I can say what I want, I won't get arrested, the judge won't be corrupt, probably, you know, he won't have taken money from my, you know, neighbor who wants my land, the militia aren't going to come get me, you know, I can deliberate with my neighbor without them, you know, them forming groups to come kill me. I mean, Sharansky talks about the difference between a fear society and a free society, and what we don't realize we have until it's gone, which is why my goal in Give Me Liberty is to get people to feel this amazing internal state that is our freedom, you know, while it's being eroded, to be aware of it so that we can defend it. This is what people long for.
Well, folks, please don't wait any longer. Make those calls right now at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Naomi Wolf making a clarion call to you to support the station and doing that, and, you know, as part of supporting the station, taking back the United States. And, you know, despite what is going on in this country, there's an election coming, which could still go to the Republican candidate. We could still end up with President Palin in a year or two, and that is really frightening. Now, it's not to say that we have to really be so alarmist about this, but if we don't act now, it could be too late, as Naomi Wolf is saying.
Oh, we have to be alarmist about it. It is time.
818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Get a copy of her book, Give Me Liberty, A Handbook for American Revolutionaries. It's a $100 pledge. The documentary, $120 pledge. It's based on her earlier book, Take Back the End of America. And for $200, you can get both the book and the documentary. Alan?
Well, actually, there are two things I want to say quickly, and after that, I'll try to just be the person who's going to cite prices and why people need to call right now at 818-985-5735. Pick up both of these together for $200. I want to cite two things that come to mind. Even if Barack Obama wins, a few months ago, there was a very good Bill Moyer show which had John Nichols and some other conservative commentators saying how it was essential to try to impeach Bush and Cheney because any president who comes into office is unlikely to give the power up.
Exactly.
So this
right
this material is absolutely the type of stuff that people need in their hands also if Barack Obama wins,
exactly,
and also even if the Democrats get into power with a larger majority in the Congress, because this is the type of stuff that we then have to pressure people to make sure that the liberties are reinstated.
Right.
And
there
has to be public pressure to achieve that effect. The other thing that comes to mind, actually, and I'll try to be brief, is there's a great essay that's floated for years by Umberto Eco. I think it's like 14 or
yes,
so Constitutive Elements of Fascism. And it's fantastic that an American, because so many people read that and associated with Bush and Cheney, used to have an American then pick up on that tip and directly relate it to the issues in American society. This is such salient material. It's prescient. It's on point for today and very on point for the future. For a $200 pledge of support, you can pick up the book and the DVD. For $120, by calling 818-985-5735, you can pick up The End of America, the DVD, which is an exclusive special that Sonali and Gabrielle have pulled together here. And the brand new book, Give Me Liberty, is available for $100. Again, get them both for $200, the DVD by itself for $120, or the book for $100. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK.
And you know what's so amazing about KPFK is that we are the embodiment, Pacifica is the embodiment of the expression of free speech, which Naomi's books have tackled and this documentary tackles as well. We want to play you an excerpt from the documentary, The End of America. Let's take a listen while you're listening. Remember, it's $120 pledge for the documentary, for both the book and the documentary on DVD, $200. Here is The End of America.
Move! Move! Move!
Move! Arrested, and there are a lot of us,
the ninth step is to recast criticism as espionage and dissent as treason, and you see this more and more. Remember, Senator Clinton criticized the Iraq War, and there was this drumbeat, treason, treason, treason. But you start to see in a closing society more and more laws criminalizing speech.
Leave the Bill of Rights alone.
We already saw the White House use laws to silence dissent. If you're charged with the Espionage Act, you can be sent to prison for 10 years. If you're charged with treason, you can be executed. But even scarier are new laws. One that's been passed redefines protest as terrorism, and another that's been proposed simply criminalizes free speech. At the Republican National Convention in St. Paul in 2008, 400 American citizens were arrested for protesting. Over 100 were charged with felonies, and dozens of reporters were arrested. Among those reporters arrested was Amy Goodman, journalist and host of the program Democracy Now.
Amy, we're going to get you out of here very soon.
No one was really even holding signs. No one was really even demonstrating. We were all just hanging out. Out of nowhere, the police tightened in, and everyone's kind of getting nervous at this point. And they get on the bullhorn and they say, "Ladies and gentlemen, you're all under arrest." I'm seeing families and, like, you know, kids with University of Minnesota shirts, and like, and at that point, no one really believed it. But then, as they started slowly moving in, it became real clear that this was a mass arrest and that they were going to arrest people without any probable cause, without any witnessing any sort of crime other than hanging out in a park.
Get back, man.
H.R. 1955, which blessedly hasn't passed so far, partly because we've been out there beating the drum about it. It was a bill with lots of support passed in the House on the way to the Senate, which would basically criminalize this conversation because it was so loosely worded that it criminalized any advocacy of the use of force against the government. Now, this is right out of Stalin's playbook. It was so loosely worded that if you say, as I'm going to say at the end of this, we need to investigate and prosecute anyone who's committed crimes in the White House, that's criminal. And it would implicate you, by the way, as being supporters of criminalized speech. And that is the hallmark of a closing society, because there's now an effort afoot to recast anyone who's critical of the state as a terrorist.
Sound from the brand new documentary, The End of America. It's the exclusive election special based on Naomi Wolf's best-selling book, The End of America, not to be released till January 2009. We've got exclusive DVDs, the special election edition available to you, the listener, for a pledge of $120. Now, if you, just to warn you, by the way, the sound that you just heard was a web quality sound because we didn't even get a copy of the DVD in our hands until this morning. So, of course, the next time we introduce this to our listeners, we'll play you the higher quality sound. It's a very, very high quality DVD. And so forgive that, you know, the web version sound, but that's not how it's going to sound when you stick it into your DVD player and listen to it and watch it. 818-985-5735 is the number to call. 818-985-KPSFK. As we're coming to the end of the Bush administration, you know, this is unfortunately not the end of the legacy that this president has left behind. And this is a very fitting way to say goodbye to this president, to watch this documentary, get a copy of this book, and do something about reversing this horribly dangerous path that this country is on. 818-985-KPFK is that number. Don't wait any longer. Get a copy of the book and the DVD for $200 right now. That, and you can break it up into as many installments as you want. Support KPFK. It's so important. Where else are you hearing Naomi Wolf on your radio dial right now? Ask yourself that. I mean, where else are you hearing her for a full hour, you know, allowed to actually complete one thought, start it and complete it?
Right. And let me also note that the right wing, you know, there's plenty of Naomi Wolf bashing all the way up to Rush Limbaugh, very well funded.
How have they responded?
Well, the piece I wrote about Palin exposing Rove's intention of a Palin presidency that will basically subvert you know, continue the establishment of a police state. That apparently struck enough of a nerve so that, you know, the whole right-wing apparatus went into high gear, you know, attacking me. But you're right about the fact that the mainstream media tends to black out messages like this. You know, earlier you said, isn't the media problem? And the problem, and I said, no, it's us. And I didn't fully, you know, respond in terms of what I meant. I think we have to accept the fact or understand that the mainstream media is wholly bought and sold at this point. And so when I say it's us, what I'm urging people to do, which is why, you know, in spite of the dire warnings, you know, hopefully the message and the power that Give Me Liberty puts in your hands is very energizing. I'm encouraging people to stop thinking of ourselves passively as recipients of media messaging or critiquing media, critiquing our leaders, critiquing, you know, is it McCain, is it Obama? It has to be us. And on the positive note, when we see ourselves as agents of change and deploy the tools I give people and that others give people to, you know, radically transform this nation and restore it to what it's supposed to be or take it to a new renaissance, we will be spending so much energy community building and organizing and, you know, deliberating, writing the laws and, you know, pressuring our representatives effectively and, you know, leading our communities and, you know, materialize our vision for good in this country that we won't be having time to sit around absorbing this toxic media and complaining about it.
My guest again is Naomi Wolf, and her, by the way, I want to let listeners know she's going to be speaking tonight at Roman's Bookstore in Pasadena, 695 East Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena. That's tonight at 7 p.m. at Roman's, 695 East Colorado Boulevard, about her brand new book, Give Me Liberty, a handbook for American revolutionaries, available right now for a pledge of just $100. And by the way, I want to read you some of what a reviewer said about her earlier best-selling book, The End of America, on which the documentary is based. The New York Times Book Review said, blasting away myths is one of Ms. Wolf's great strengths. She firebombs with knowledge and authority. Tom Hartman called it one of the most important books that's been written certainly in the last decade or two, and perhaps in my lifetime. Mark Crispin Miller said, patriots like Madison, Payne, and Franklin would certainly applaud Naomi Wolf and recognize her as a sister in their struggle. Michael Ratner at the Center for Constitutional Rights said, you will be shocked and disturbed by this book. Most Americans reject outright any comparison of post-9/11 America with the fascism and totalitarianism of Nazi Germany or Pinochet's Chile. Sadly, the parallels and similarities, what Wolf calls the echoes between those societies and America today, are all too compelling. The book has a documentary based on it called The End of America, which we're offering to you today for a pledge of $120. That's just $10 a month, folks. That's just $10 a month. 818-985-KPFK. Naomi?
I just want to say to your listeners that this documentary, they are the first people in America to get their hands on it. And that the footage you played for them would not have survived the RNC except that one of the protesters buried it in the ground before his arrest because they were ruining the digital cameras and the audio and video recording equipment of people that they arrested. This is some of the only footage of that kind that survived.
Mm. Alan?
Yeah, I wanted to say, too, again, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Very important documentary. I want to just put forward a little bit of a something that could happen in the society that we've all recognized as a possibility. There have been some frightening similarities in the United States these past few weeks with Argentina in December 2001 when the economy completely collapsed. The people in Argentina took the streets, took their society into their own hands. It's almost unfathomable to imagine that the people in America, with just as much goodwill as the people in Argentina had at that moment, could try to do the same thing without this kind of apparatus clamping down on them. That could happen in the near future, and believe me, if it was an Obama presidency or a McCain presidency, if people took to the streets in America, they would face something pretty fierce that would not resemble a democratic society. This is very important material related to that. The End of America on DVD is available as a thank you gift for $120 of support to KPFK by calling 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK.
And you know what's amazing about KPFK is that, you know, on other media you may hear bits and pieces of what's happening to America. You'll hear the bits and pieces about the economy crumbling. You'll even hear the bits and pieces about the brigade that's been deployed that's answerable only to Bush. You'll even hear the bits and pieces, of course, about torture and our loss of civil liberties. But who's putting it together? They don't want you to get the whole picture.
That's true.
The full circle that Naomi has described in the beginning of this hour. On KPFK, you get that holistic picture. Mm. You get the picture because that is our our job is to educate you. Our job is to, you know, we are here because of you, for you, and we will continue only if you support KPFK, because, you know, we're not here to make money. This is not a for-profit venture. This is a non-profit venture. This is listener-sponsored radio. By definition, it is your radio station. The only reason we are here and we survive is if you keep making the payments that you need to make, 818-985-5735.
And we at Pacifica here, we are a non-partisan organization, but one thing we are not nonpartisan about is free speech. Mm-hmm. We exist explicitly
Absolutely.
To defend and promote and to practice free speech. And
as much as the FCC will allow us.
Indeed. Hey, well, we went to court of over the seven exactly. words. We're the institution that was there with the Supreme Court on the Carlin word, so we even tried to expand on that front. 818-985-5735. It didn't work out. Those words are banned. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. A $200 pledge of support. Pick up Give Me Liberty, the brand new book by Naomi Wolf. Plus the DVD, The End of America, an exclusive arrangement that Gabrielle and Sonali have pulled together here. The DVD by itself is $120. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Keep calling. There's now one line open. If you do call and get a busy signal, please just wait a moment, call back. Someone will be able to help you out very shortly in the phone room, 818-985-5735.
And you know, Alan and Naomi, in times of crisis, people do turn to Pacifica, and that is a bright light of hope.
Excellent.
It happened after 9/11, it happened before and after the U.S. went to war with Iraq, and I really hope that it's going to happen now. So if you're listening, you know, call and tell your friends to listen as well, so they can get this material as well, and listen to people like Naomi Wolf. I want to ask you, finally, Naomi, to give us your sort of advice to our listeners. You said, you know, there's only less than a month before this election, and you said the coup has happened, and you warned of the possibility that they're going to try to postpone this election. Urgently, in these last 4 weeks, what can people do? I mean, is there some specific recommendation you can make other than having the DA arrest Bush?
Well, that's, I have to say, it's pretty powerful. If, you know, 50 million people pressure their elected officials to send the DAs across the country to arrest the president.
You think it could happen? I mean, you think we could do that?
Yeah, I do. I do. Here's why. If you look at my post on Alternate Later, you know, one of the things the First Brigade can do is arrest Congress, and then Congress will have to throw itself on the military's, you know, mercy.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you how serious this is. And so when the people frame it as a bipartisan effort for these people to save their own skins, then you're going to see some response. And again, historically, when people rise up, I mean, let's end on a very high note. Historically, when millions of people rise up together, and we talked about taking things to the streets, and, you know, in Pakistan, they took it to the streets. Well, I've got a whole chapter on protest and how the protest we've been brainwashed into accepting is 30 years of over-permitticized protest.
Mm-hmm.
It is, by definition, sterile and pointless. So I teach people how to take to the streets in a way that does bring down regimes, does force change, does change history. And, you know, we certainly need to do that as well. But, again, I think the last change is psychological. When millions of people say no, all the way from, you know, the cops at the RNC who refused to follow orders and arrest the Iraqi vets for peace, even though they were directed to do so, to calls to the 1st Brigade to lay down arms, you know, to, you know, individual DAs standing up across the country, to citizens clamoring, you know, with their representatives and saying we will not tolerate it. We do see historically that that has immense, immense power. So if you want to join up to be part of this army, I'm going to pitch for our democracy movement. Go to myamericaproject.org. There's a staffer standing by to direct you, to watch the vote, to organize a protest, to form yourselves into democracy commando units. And please, please support KPFK, because truly this is our lifeline.
That's myamericaproject.org. And you can also go to kpfk.org and pledge online. For Sonali Silvestre, for the age, Thomas Jefferson once said, educate and inform the whole mass of the people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. That's Thomas Jefferson, and that's Sonali's subversive thought for the day. My guest has been Naomi Wolf. She's going to be at Romans tonight, 695 East Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena at 7 p.m. And thank you so much, Naomi, for joining us. Thank you also, Alan Minsky.
You've been
listening to Uprising. Gabriel San Roman is our assistant producer. Teddy Robinson is our engineer. I'm your host and producer, Sonali Kulhatkar. Keep those calls coming in, and thanks so much for listening.